The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ivan in for Pat this week. Well, joining me to preview the UK election on Thursday is George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times, and our old favourite, well, not so old, Edwina Curry, writer, broadcaster, and former Conservative MP and minister. Welcome to you both. George, is this over before the votes are even counted?
I think, give you a brutally honest answer, is yes. I mean, if you look at the opinion polls, the Labour Party have got a 20-point lead over the Conservatives. That's been maintained throughout the election campaign, but frankly, it's been a 20-point lead for most of the last few months now, and barring an electoral miracle on Thursday, we're looking at Keir Starmer becoming our next Prime Minister on Friday morning, probably with a very large majority indeed.
So the magic figure is 326 in a parliament of 650. They went with Corbyn last time 202, their lowest in 35 years. Could you dare to put a figure on what Labour might get, 400 or more?
Well, I mean, certainly if you look at some of the polling, it looks like it could be over 400 for sure, with a majority, some people say, of 200, 250. So the polls could be wrong, of course, and a lot depends on turnout. A lot depends also on whether some potential conservative voters think, blimey, I don't like the look of a huge Labour majority. Let's go and vote Tories just to keep the majority down. That could happen. But certainly, according to the polls, it could be a majority even bigger than the 197 secured by Tony Blair in that landslide for Labour back in 1997.
Is it a disaster for the Tories, not just because of the swing against them, but the emergence of Farage's reform could have a situation if they got 15% of the vote, putting the Tories, you know, below a certain mark, that Labour could win seats on 30%?
Yeah, that's precisely the problem posed for the Conservatives by Nigel Farage's Reform UK. It's possible that Reform UK could win a handful of seats, maybe 10 or so seats on a good night, but that isn't the real problem. The real problem is that votes swing from the Tory column into the Reform UK column, and that allows the Labour Party to win a whole load of seats right across the country. And in the immediate aftermath of the election, what you all hear for certain are some people saying, aha, if only we could merge Reform UK and the Conservative Party, we'd have all those votes in our column. The danger for that is the Conservative Party goes down, in my view, quite a dangerous political path.
Edwina, we see overnight in France the incumbent government taking a bashing. Is that what this is down to? Or you know, if campaigns matter, has Sunak run a bad campaign? He got soaked day one, the National Service, the D-Day, the gambling investigation. It just seems to be one darn thing after another for him.
Yeah, well, some of that was avoidable, shall we say, like going out in the rain in your best suit. That is not a great idea. Going over to Belfast and being photographed at the Titanic, when actually we don't put up any candidates, the Conservatives don't put up any candidates in Northern Ireland. Who on earth came up with that idea? It really should be nowhere near politics, in my humble opinion. And whoever suggested to him, or in fact, maybe it was his own idea, that not being present for the whole of D-Day, not being present as the sun went down, was OK. That sort of thing. I don't think he had any control over the betting scandal. I think that's a few idiots, probably the same people who sent him out in the rain. I mean, you know, as a long-term activist and president of my local Conservative Association, I've spent the last few weeks tearing my hair out. It's been absolutely awful. The campaign has not budged the gap between the Conservatives and Labour at all. What Reform has done has been to take votes, I think equally, if you look at the poll of polls, from both Labour and the Conservatives. But of course, it's more damaging to the Conservatives because it particularly tends to be in seats in the north of England that we won handsomely in 2019, that we won handsomely last time round. And you can't actually form a government unless you have seats actually in most of the country and certainly most of England. So it's been a calamitous campaign, which hasn't turned anything around. I think there may be in some particular seats, I think there may be some good surprises. The seat where I do a lot of work here, for example, has got an excellent young Conservative MP who won in 2019. And what Labour have done is ditched the old candidate, their old candidate, who was a Corbynista and was accused of anti-Semitism, and they brought in somebody from St Albans. I'm not sure anybody who lives in this area could put a finger on the map as to where St Albans is. And so there's a certain amount of resentment. And so you'll get some against the trend results. It may not be quite as awful on the night, but... No, we're not expecting to open the champagne on Thursday night or Friday morning, not at all.
George, the issues and what a Starmer government might mean, it seems to me that the issue that dare not speak its name is Brexit, insofar as everyone tells us that for incomes, for tax yield, for investment, for jobs, for trade, to date, it hasn't been a success, and yet no one seems to be advocating a change. Is there a chance that a Labour government could enter the customs union? So not the single market where you have people involved, but just for goods. Do you see that, or in relation to Anglo-Irish relations? Because he worked in Northern Ireland for a number of years, advising the PSNI on human rights. Do you see changes that might affect Europe and Ireland for the UK?
Well, the starting point is that the government's own forecasters say that Brexit is going to make the country 4% poorer over 15 years, which maybe doesn't sound a lot, but that's about £40 billion a year, which could be spent on strained public services. And Labour are definitely determined to go for growth. As you say, Brexit's hardly been an issue in this campaign, where frankly it should have been. Question is, what can Labour do? Certainly the vibe is more positive, and certainly the rhetoric and the working relationship with the European Union will be much better, I think, under a Labour government than under a Conservative one. But, and it's a big but, if your starting point is, as they say, no customs union, no single market, no free movement, no going back into the EU, you end up with the same British red lines which stymied the negotiations when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. So, yes, I think there can be improvements around the edges. But unless the Labour Party is prepared to take a big gamble, as you say, by, for example, going back into the customs union, which will solve a lot of problems, then it doesn't really make a massive difference. I'm not sure whether Keir Starmer's got the political guts to go for that in the first term of a Labour government. But I think if they win on Thursday and look on course for a big majority in 4 or 5 years' time, then I think that could come back onto the agenda.
Edwina, the future of the Conservative Party. Look, these things go in cycles. We saw it with Blair and Thatcher and so on. The tide goes in, the tide goes out. In terms of the, you know, say Sunak goes off to California, spending more time with his money. What do you see in terms of a leadership contest? Is it a very fragmented party, or will it rediscover its soul under a new leader?
Well, let me just very quickly comment on what George was saying, because I think any kind of deals or any kind of changes that come up are inevitably bound up with migration of people as well. And that's the very sticky issue in this country, which we haven't mentioned yet. It's one of the reasons for the rise of Reform. And it forces Starmer's government to confront as well. You know, how do you stop people coming here illegally? But also, of course, if you do trade deal with countries like India, they are going to want more visas for their own people to come. So these are very sticky issues. As far as the Conservatives are concerned, I think there will be all sorts of internal infighting for a while. And for those who enjoy it, I wish them well. We can only win elections on first past the post by holding the centre ground. To be a protest party for the next few years is not an appealing prospect. And I think that certainly the Conservative Party's most senior people and its donors and its people in Parliament, because we would, on any calculation, we're probably likely to have something like 150 MPs still, they are going to be a very significant part of deciding where the party is going to go. Are we going to go into the wilderness for a very, very long time, or are we going to focus very clearly on getting back into the common sense projects and ideas and attitudes and fundamental values that we've always held?
Would you care to put a name on who the next leader might be?
Well, Kemi Badenoch is already campaigning. And she is one of the few contenders that is pretty likely to hold her seat. If she doesn't, then Penny Mordaunt can't do it from outside Parliament. I mean, there could be a short-term leader, and then there may be some by-elections and other people will come in. Nigel Farage wants to be leader of the Conservative Party. If he does that, he'll find he doesn't have any party members, because people like me are not going to be involved a party like that.
My sincere thanks to George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times, and Edwina Curry, writer, broadcaster and former MP and minister. And we'll have lots of coverage, not least on Friday, when the results come through.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.